Okay, we're continuing in the Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bovavi Mishkan Evne. We're on the top of page Kuf Tzadi Zayin. And we're talking about Dveikus. We're talking about the ability to cleave to Hashem. And how you can have that happening in this world to a great extent. You don't have to wait till the next world. We also talked a lot about Zrizus. But Zrizus comes when there's nothing holding you back. So we're at the top of the Kuf Tzadi Zayin, and now the words of the Mesillas Yesharim. Uchishetistakel od badavar, if you will look more into this matter, Tiri, you will see, ki ha-shlemus ha-miti hu rak ha-dveikus boris barech. You're going to find out that the true shlemus, the true perfection, is only dveikus, is only cleaving to Hashem. Says the commentary of the Bilvavi, L'chayre dvarav kam enu muvanim. It would appear that these words here are not understandable. He adds the words, Ukeshitistakel od badavar. If you look further into the matter. So the question is, Marinu kanshlarinu kodam. What are we seeing now that you didn't see anymore before? What's there more to see? Earlier, what did Lutzad already say? That a person wasn't created except for what? To take pleasure in Hashem and to enjoy the splendor of his Shechina. Says this is the goal of Yiddishkeit. So it seems to have said it all. Now he writes, if you look more into it, look deeper, you'll see that the true perfection is only cleaving to Hashem. That appears to be the same thing. So what has he added? But when you think about it more, Roim, you see, you're talking about something totally different. Reishis Balashan, first of all, the way he's saying it. He changed the language. Before he was saying, he's talking about pleasure, tanug, hano. And he was saying that is why a person was created. Now he's talking about cleaving. Is cleaving and pleasure the same thing? So tanig vano shayachim barama musiyam eslos atvisa. Yes, pleasure and delight, they are appropriate to a certain degree in that way of coming close to Hashem, of being cleaving to Hashem. Vare shigam beinayim chayv lios chiluk dak bein tanig vano. Certainly, there's got to be some common ground of pleasure between that and cleaving. Aval hamusag dveikus vamusag tanug vahana michad yeshbo nekuda mishutefes al meirach zu nekuda legamishona. On the one hand, the concept of cleaving to Hashem and the concept of pleasure, on the one hand, have a common denominator. On the other hand, they are totally different. Let's try to explain this a little bit. So now, after the diamonds, on page Kuf Tzadi Zayin, he explains. But etzem, essentially, ha'his angus va'no k'mo shamarnu le'el, hu ha'shalo lishma v'advekes yalishma. Pleasure and delight, as we explained earlier, really, this is the shalo lishma aspect. This is the aspect that has ulterior motives. You're not doing it purely for the sake of Hashem. And dveikus is understood as the lishma, and doing it purely for the sake of Hashem. And now he'll explain. Kavana Sadvar, what I mean to say is, Lahalan, later on in the 19th chapter, Kosev Ramchal, Sheshna Shnei Sugei Dveikus, Lutzaro himself says, there are two types of Dveikus. Yesh Odom HaMachapes is HaDveikus L'Shem HaHano Shabo. There's a person who searches to cleave to something because of the pleasure that it gives him. Zehui Avodas HaShalo L'Shmo. This is the service you do that is not for the sake of heaven, and this is not the goal of life. Then on the other hand, there's a person searching for cleaving to Hashem, bonding to Hashem, for the sake of bonding alone, not for any pleasure at all. And this is the work of Lishma. So Lozada's already telling us this, that there's two ways you can connect to someone else. One is I'm connecting so I can have pleasure with that person. One is I'm connecting just for the sake of connecting and for no other ulterior reason. So now we come back to the words of Litzato that he's saying here. And if you will look more in the matter, you will see. Until now, we're only talking about pleasure. Now we are revealing a bonding to Hashem that is above and beyond any type of pleasure. I don't know why he is belaboring this point. He spent so much time on this a few pages ago saying that the pleasure was the means to come to the Dveikus. Anyway, that's what he's saying. So, Dveikus in Yonako Sherman Chazal, Hevi Doimelo, Mahu Af Ato. Dveikus, the concept of Dveikus, the concept of bonding to Hashem, as our rabbis have already told us, a very important statement, that a person has an obligation to be similar to Hashem. Just like he has a certain quality, so too do you have a certain quality. Klomer, meaning to say. Now he's going to tell us to a beginning degree, how is it that one can bond with Hashem? He hasn't discussed that yet. He just talks about Dveikus. How does one achieve Dveikus? So he's saying, he's bringing this Chazal and he's explaining. Next page, Ubi Shabbos and Afash, Kacha Adam also of Shashis, Yememais and Malachus, Vishabbos, Ubi Shabbos Shaives, Haidam Adamis Masav Lamase Boro. He's saying like this, a person, as it were, has to resemble himself to the actions of the Creator, just like the rabbi said the following, just like Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So a person, he works for 6 days and he rests on the seventh. A person has to make his actions be similar to Hashem. So for 6 days you create a reality and the seventh day you rest. That's how you act like Hashem. That's one way, in a physical way, to act like Hashem. Also in the area of feelings, emotions. As already explained, that let's say regarding love or fear, you have to compare yourself to Hashem. You have to be like Hashem. You have to love the way Hashem loves. You have to have yira the way Hashem has, etc., etc. And so it is with all the midos. Kiviyachol, yesh es amidos shel ein sof, yesh es amidos shel adam. Vevidoimelo, uludamas es amidos. So as it were, there are characteristics of the infinite God, and there are characteristics of the human being, and we have a mitzvah to be similar to Him, for our midos should be similar to His midos. It can't be exactly the same. Hashem is infinite. As we said many times, the idea of having the demus, a human being has a demus, there's a tzelem and a demus, and a demus means that my behavior is a miniature model of the behavior that Hashem has. I act in a similar way. The way he does chesed is the way I do chesed. Right? If a person is able to be insulted and not respond, that's the way Hashem behaves. He's insulted, he doesn't respond.
Those are physical responses.
No, those are emotional responses. No, feelings. Feelings not to take revenge.
We don't know how Hashem feels. Nobody knows.
Again, we're not going to go over this again. I understand, but it reflects, if we would be doing, that reflects a kindness.
But that's our understanding of it.
I understand, but that's how Hashem wants us to understand it. And on our level, that's how we can only understand it. Again, there is the ultimate Hashem that is beyond any description. And then there's the part of Hashem in which He relates to us and manifests these feelings.
So only that area we can see.
That's right. That's the only area we can. It's the only area we can.
We don't really know how Hashem.
But that's fine. But the area that we are able to is the area that we do. So that is feelings. We've got actions and feelings. You do things the way Hashem does. You have emotions the way Hashem shows to us. And our service requires, in addition, that we have to be similar in thoughts. Hu v'chachmaso chad kivyachol. He and his will and his intelligence, his wisdom is one, as it were. Chachmaso shalabara hi atorah kadosh. His wisdom is in his Torah, at least that part of his wisdom that he shares with us. V'shadam lo meid asat Torah hakadosha hu mevatel dato ladato shel Torah. When a person learns the holy Torah, he nullifies his will before Hashem's will. And if that's the case, then his thoughts become the thoughts of the Torah. As it were, his thoughts are similar to the thoughts of the Creator. So, for example, if a person doesn't waste any time, you know, that then if the Torah says you're not allowed to spend your time in certain areas, and I want you to spend your time in these areas, and the person says, okay, if that's the way you think, Hashem, so I will start thinking that way, and I'll have a mindset that I don't waste my time in Mishigasim, that you don't want me to. So now you have now incorporated a Chachma of Hashem, and you're thinking in a way that Hashem wants you to think, and not like others. So, you know, you have to be this similarity. This is how you bond with Hashem. That's what he's saying now. Kasher ha'adam doimu labari olam b'masim bargoshes machshavos shem shloshes levusha nefesh o'az dovek hu b'barik ki machma shem domim zelizek yivyachad nasim chad. When a person is similar to Hashem, how? In actions, feelings, and thoughts. Well, those are the three garments of the soul. It's nefesh, ruach, and neshama. That's what those three are. So then you're able to bond to Hashem because now they are, as it were, similar to Hashem and they become one with Hashem. Like-minded beings feel close to each other. You know, I highly doubt that a sophisticated college professor is going to feel a reason to bond with someone who goes to bars every night and watches, goes to a sports bar and watches football games all day long. I don't think the two have a lot in common. So we have to mold ourselves to have a lot of commonality with Hashem, and that is how we bond with Hashem. Ma shemechalek dover mechaveru hu eyosem shodim zemim zeh. That which separates one thing from another is what is their differences. The word shnei. The word shnei, shnei means two. Nikra kach is called two. Machmashu shone, because he is different. The word shone means different. It's almost the same letters as shnei. It's the same root. There's differences. Who? Interesting. Hu nia sheni, he is the second one. He is two. Ki shone me, because he is different. Velo. And not just with a little difference, a big difference. Ain't parts of fame, shavim zelzeh. The faces aren't the same. Ain't the same shavim. Their idea, their thoughts aren't the same. Vein l'chashnei kiso shavim. They don't have the two same seats. Avalu yitzur shashnei kiso shayu b'di gosa dover. What if the two seats were the same? Hema yechad, they'd be one. Avalu adam be'ein agash v'stom. But a person, you know, with a physical eye will wonder. How could two people be one? That's because we're focusing things in a physical way. Physically, you're right. Two can't be one physically. Two people cannot sit in the same seat. Two people cannot be in the same space. But in a spiritual sense, called Dover Shudayim Lagamri Huachad, anything that is totally similar to something else is one. So therefore, when a person models himself towards Hashem in his actions, and with his feelings and his thoughts, he becomes one with Hashem, and that's how he cleaves to Hashem.
And the action as well.
You have to compare. It's just like Hashem works on 6 days and he rests on the seventh. It's just like Hashem gives tzedakah. Hashem is zoyrei tzedakos, poel yeshuos. All the things we say in davening. Hashem plants tzedakah. He acts and makes salvations. Those are actions. He saves the Jewish people. He does all kinds of things.
And action, physical. And
yes.
Yeah, physical,
when we're just learning the battles Hashem, that Sholem Elch does. Hashem does miracles. Yeah. So Hashem goes out of his way to help the Jewish people. So that's actions. Hashem is constantly helping humanity. So, you should be constantly helping humanity. That's the actions. And he does it with a love for humanity. So then we have to do it with a love for humanity. It's not enough to help humanity. You have to do it with love. So you can do things the way Hashem does. All the things. You can, Hashem does chesed in a clandestine way. So you do chesed in a clandestine way. That's exactly you as much as humanly possible, to that degree you were able to bond with Hashem. Bottom paragraph. Okay, so far, what we've done so far is explain how one will achieve dveikus to Hashem. This is the way to achieve dveikus. Those ways in which you are similar to Hashem as much as possible. Then you are on the same wavelength as Hashem. Now, it's one last question. Now the question is, we have to discriminate. Does the person want to achieve this closeness to Hashem and being similar to him because he is getting a pleasure out of it? Or is he doing it because it has nothing to do with any pleasure? If he is bonding to Hashem and acting in the way he should and being similar to Hashem, not for the purpose of the pleasure, then they become one. But if he's attaching himself just for the pleasure that he'll get out of it, it comes out he's attaching himself only for his own personal desires. He's going back into his own personal world. So it's not possible to be one with that other being if you're doing it for the purpose of just having the pleasure. Because then he still has to nullify the I. If you're attached to something, there can't be an I anymore. As long as the dveikus that a person has, if that is for his own personal pleasure, so therefore he is emphasizing and revealing the I in this dveikus, and therefore, in the deepest sense, you're lacking the basic dveikus. Dveikus means you're so attached that there is no more I. Right? The whole idea of 1 plus 1 equals 1. How's 1 plus 1 equal 1? Because the ones are not ones anymore. I'm not a one anymore. I have surrendered my personal desires for a higher purpose that me and the other party are both surrendering towards, as it were. And there's no I. So if there is an I, then that is distinct from the other that you are cleaving to. Cleaving means you're one. How can you be one if the two of you are one, if you are already one before even coming to the other one? It's not bonding. Dveikus means being one with the other. So how can you be one if there's one here and there's one here? There's two. There's gotta be not a one and not a one. And since Hashem is the one, that ain't gonna change. So you gotta make yourself into a zero. If you make yourself into a zero, then you're bound with Hashem. You know, just no different than you buy these super glues, and you want to bond two surfaces together. What's the first thing they tell you to do? Clean the two surfaces. To the degree you don't clean the two surfaces, they can't bond with each other. So you got to clean your surface. And we have a lot of rough edges on the surface that won't allow us to bond with Hashem. Arrogance, jealousies, things like that won't allow us to bond with Hashem. So we got to clean all those out. When you clean all those out, there isn't any one left. So to agree that, no, I want to be close to Hashem because it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. That's what you want. So now you go back to the I. So you cannot bond with Hashem. So if you look further, that's what he's saying. That's what Lutzada was saying. Let's look further. What is the real perfection? Dveikus, cleaving. Leil divaram chalanovatanik. Before he's talking about pleasure, which we said is a means. You start off shalo lishma. Right, shesham vare chaser b'etzem advekas. When you're doing it for pleasure, you're certainly lacking the dvekas. Okay, sure. Adam dovak shalo l'shem hanovatanik. But when you bant Hashem without any sense of your own personal pleasure, zoi ashleimus amitis. This is the true bonding. And that's what we said yesterday in the Parsha class about the Keser Shem Tov. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says the Keser Shem Tov is greater than the crown of a good name is better than the Keser Kahuna, the Keser Torah, and the Keser Malchus, the crown of Torah, priestlyhood, and kingship. That, you know, the Keser Shem Tov. Shem Tov, Rashi says, comes from Ma'asim Tovim. Ma'asim Tovim, good deeds. So what is the definition of good? Very difficult word to define. Very difficult word to define. Again, as a non-Jew, it would be easier, but it would be incorrect. As a Jew, it's a very hard word to define. So, what do you mean? Tov? Tov is good. Everyone knows what good is. What's good? The dinner was good. Yeah. What made it good? What made it good? Right? So good, and again, God comes from good. So then obviously Hashem is good. So what does that mean? Okay, so now start looking at sources. Well, anyway, there's one source which says it says when Moshe was born, they saw that he was good. It was Tov. And Rashi there says that the whole room was filled with light. And the Shemishul explains, it means it was totally perfect. There was not one blemish of imperfection in it. Not one thing was missing. It said Moshe was born circumcised. A child's born not circumcised. He can't be good. There's a deficiency. Good means a total lack of any deficiencies. Total lack of any deficiencies. So therefore, that's what Hashem is. Hashem is good, God, total lack of any deficiencies. Hashem saw what he created on day one, day three, day four, day five. It was good. There were no deficiencies. Everything was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Nothing wrong with it at all. So ma'asim tovi means actions that are perfectly without any deficiencies. Now what is a very big deficiency in our avodas Hashem? Will be a deficiency is shalo lishma. There's different levels. There's different levels of deficiencies. There's I'm doing something, I'm learning Torah so I could hurt people. That would be a very big deficiency. I'm a leader to hurt people, to boss people around. That's a big deficiency. If you say I'm learning a lot of Torah so I should get honor, that's less of a deficiency. You're not hurting anybody with that. But you say I'm learning Torah because Hashem wants me to learn Torah, then that's perfect. Then that is a Masim Tovim. And that Keser, that crown, is the highest of all the crowns. Right? And the Medrash explains, so where do these crowns come from? It comes from the Mishkan. Because there were Kalim, the utensils, the Ark, the table, and the Mizbeach HaKetores, the incense altar, they all had little crowns, a zir zahav, a golden crown around them. A crown. And the Aron is obviously a symbol of Torah. The table is a symbol of royalty. And the Mizbeach is a symbol of the Kohen. So you have to have a crown around. A crown means that even though you are special in a certain area, ooh, I'm outstanding in Torah, I'm outstanding in being a Kohen, I'm outstanding in being a king, a leader, but don't abuse people with it. And a crown means, as what a crown is, a crown surrounds your head. Don't let your specialty go to your head that you're going to hurt people with it. And therefore, you need something as a safeguard that you're going to use it only for, in a way not to hurt people. So that's what a crown is. That's what a crown is. The crown really means that you've got this talent and you're not going to hurt anybody with that talent. And that now is a crown. Because now you are controlling yourself. That's a crown. But the highest crown is the menorah. The menorah That's what he said. The menorah is that symbol of the crown of Maasim Tovim, good deeds. Even though the menorah has no crown itself. It's no crown of the menorah, but the whole essence is the crown. Why? Because, yes, I could learn, I could have the crown of Torah, priesthood, and leadership, which means I don't take those talents to hurt people. That's okay. That's nice. Still not perfect. Then there's, that's, in other words, you learn Torah not to hurt people, not to, you know, push yourself higher than others. Okay. But that's, is that still perfect? No. Then you've got to do all those things in a way that's perfect. Ma'asim tovim, perfect acts. The menorah, what was the main part of the menorah? Was to light, to produce light. How'd the light come? Came from Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis is olive oil. How do you get olive oil? From olives. Have you ever eaten an olive from the tree?
Can't
eat an olive from a tree is bitter. The land of Israel is filled with olives. Right? So what do? You gotta crush the olive. And then after you crush the olive, the oil that comes out is not bitter. It creates light. And the Gemara says that if you eat raw olives, you forget your learning. If you eat olive oil, you become smart. It's a symbol of chachma, wisdom. And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is you take the raw information, you crush it, and you make something very beautiful with that. A human being is a raw olive, and you can have a lot of negative things about you. You have to crush yourself. Meaning so you have to make yourself humble. And by making yourself humble and you're nothing, then your actions are going to be beautiful. The actions are going to be beautiful. When you light the menorah, how am I able to light the menorah? Because we crushed olives. Crushing olive means you take yourself, you crush yourself. It's very crushing to not be able to get your way in life. Right? I think it should be this way. Well, the other person thinks not. The other person is smarter than you. Well, I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. Do it your way, make a fool of yourself. Okay, you know what? I'll give in. Giving in is crushing. Last thing a person in the world wants to do is give in. Because why? Because that's denying the I. The I is denied. Oh, then I'm nothing. Aha. So that's Maasim Tovim. That's you doing the action. There's no I in the action at all. I have nothing to gain from that action at all. And that's what the menorah is. That's what the menorah is. And that's why the Keser, Shem Tov, that's a good name. That's a good name. Person that has no I to himself. That's a person who's very respected by everybody. And that is, and it doesn't have to have a crown around. It doesn't have to have a crown around it to surround it and make sure it doesn't abuse its power, because it's already taken out the eye. It itself is a crown by definition. The whole essence is a crown beyond crowns. And that's what Hashem says. So where do you get that from? Where do you get that from? How can you get that? You know, to do that on your own is very hard. Baruch Hashem, we have the Avos who blazed the trail. And Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they are both symbols of the first three utensils of the Shulchan, the Aron, and the Mizbeach. They were able to show those levels. But who was the menorah? Who's the menorah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, we know one thing about Moshe, there was no I by Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything he did was just for the Jewish people, just for Hashem. And even Moshe himself said, if you don't forgive the Jewish people, you should erase me from the Torah. So he's saying, if there's no Jewish people, I don't need to be around anywhere. There's absolutely no I. When they came down, he would come down from Har Sinai, taking care of the Jewish people's needs, not taking care of his own needs. He never took care of his own needs. Moshe was always the selfless servant of the Jewish people, who's totally davuk to Hashem, to the greatest extreme possible. Right? That's why the beginning of the parasha says, Va'ata titzaveh. You will command. It's a redundant statement. Ata titzaveh means you will command. Ata titzaveh. You will command. It's the only time in the Torah it says you will command. The answer is, you will command the Jews about lighting the menorah with Shem and Zayis, because you are the symbol of the menorah. You are the one. People will look at you and they'll say, from you, they will learn how to be able to be davak to Hashem, to have masim tovim. And that's what the Zohar says, that each one of these four shepherds, their quality is what gets us out of each one of the four exiles. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the first three exiles, Moshe, the last exile. The only way you're going to get out of the last exile is by behaving like Moshe Rabbeinu. Getting rid of the I. There is no I at all. There's no I at all with Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the one to teach us. And he has the Keser Shem Tov that rises above everything else. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do. So that's the kind of person we're talking about here. To have Dveikus to Hashem means there's absolutely no I. And obviously, so now I'm doing everything the way Hashem wants me to do things. I act, walk, think, talk, everything exactly the way Hashem would do. And that is the true Shleimus. That's the true Dveikus, where there is absolutely no ulterior motive at all. The Chovas HaVavos discusses how there's a part of the Chovas HaVavos where there's like a psychology, the patient and psychologist, where there's the person and his seichel, the nefesh and the seichel are talking to each other. In other words, the id and the ego within the person are talking to each other. And the person says to his psychologist, he says, I don't understand, you know, every time I do a mitzvah, and I'm doing a mitzvah because I want to pay Hashem back and say how much I love him, I want to thank him. And every time while I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm already expecting how Hashem should reward me more for this mitzvah. He says, where's that coming from? So he basically says, you're an arrogant person. You expect everything should come for you. You're self-centered. You think Hashem doesn't know what to do unless you would tell him what to do. And that's that arrogance that you bring to the table that takes a beautiful action that says, I'm doing it because I want to thank Hashem. And at the same time, you're expecting him to reward you. So what is that? Now, that's not a terrible shalom lishma, but it's still shalom lishma. And that's what we've said many times. If you're doing this because you want Olam Haba, you want the pleasure of Olam Haba, that's shalom lishma. It's still shalom lishma. So, Dveikus. Why do you want Dveikus? I want Dveikus because that's what Hashem wants me to have. That's good. There's nothing of you. If I want Dveikus because I'm going to enjoy it, you know, I'm going to have a good time in the world to come. I'm going to have a good time, by definition, means you're not clinging to Hashem. If you're saying, I will be able to be totally connected to Hashem. Why? Because that's what Hashem wants. I have no personal interest. If Hashem wouldn't want me to be close to Hashem, I wouldn't be close to Hashem. That's all. So therefore, you know, that's what, who was it? I forget which tzaddik. It was Rav Levi Yitzchak or another tzaddik. I don't remember which tzaddik. That after he died, he's supposed to go up to Shemayim. So he said to Hashem, listen, I just want to see where my chassidim are. So your chassidim, not all of them are in a good place. They're in Gehenna. He says, so I have to visit them. So Hashem said, okay, I'll let you visit them. He goes into Gehenna. Hashem says, okay, it's time to leave. He says, I ain't leaving. What do you mean you're not leaving? I'm not leaving until you take these guys out with me. What does that mean? The tzaddik's willing to go to Gehenna for his chassidim. Gehenna is probably not a very pleasant place for the tzaddik because he has no desires. He only has one desire, that his chassidim should not be in Gehenna. So Hashem says, I'll sing at him until you let me go. All right. So that's the biggest point. So that's the real Dveikus. The real Dveikus is there is no I. There is totally L'shem Shemayim and nothing else. And that's this week's parsha, L'shem Shemayim. That's why this, Tetzav is always Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit. Thursday night is Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit. Right. And what else you know about parsha's Tetzav is the only parsha that what? Moshe's name isn't mentioned. Now, isn't that the biggest L'shem Shemayim? When Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people after the sin of the golden calf, Moshe says, if you're going to destroy them, you might as well wipe my name out of the Torah. So Hashem had to keep his word, what Moshe says. He got wiped out of one name, Tetzava, one Parsha. And no name, there's no name. Everybody, you know, if there wasn't problems with Shalom L'shma, Rafal wouldn't have to remember to put every name to thank in the bulletin. Wouldn't have to thank anybody. Just imagine what would happen, any congregation where they don't thank people. How much would get done? Nearly nothing. That shows you how much not L'shem Shemayim is involved. Everyone, 99% of people help only because they expect to get a big thank you. Because they don't do L'shem. Why are you doing it? Because I want to do it. I want to get whatever covet I can get out of it. I want this. But make sure you remember to thank me for it. Because if you don't, I won't do it for you again. That shows you how L'shem Shemayim people are. That's all. So you can imagine, that's the way we talk to Hashem. Hashem, if you don't put a thank you in your bulletin up in Shemayim, I ain't doing it again. Imagine, tell a Jew, I want you to know, whatever you're going to do, you're not going into Olam Haba. Then they become an Epicurean. You say, well, then eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you'll die. You're not going to go to Olam Haba, so I'm not doing it. So then you're not L'shem Shemayim. Not L'shem Shemayim. All right, so now,
One small question. Does Hashem derive any pleasure from all the things he does for us?
Again, in the context of his relationship, he creates this reality that he gets pleasure from us. The ultimate Hashem doesn't get pleasure, but in the relationship part of Hashem, he does get pleasure.
Since this relationship is the only one that we understand and relate to, why can we not get pleasure from that?
I get pleasure out of doing the will of Hashem. That's all. That's my only pleasure. But that's not my pleasure. It's the will of Hashem that's being done. It's not what I want. I get pleasure of doing what Hashem wants me to do.
So it's
not, because it's centered around what Hashem wants.
What?
It's what Hashem wants. What if Hashem wants me to change 5,000 diapers? It's my pleasure. What if Hashem wants me to be insulted and not respond? It's my pleasure. That there's no I anymore. If Hashem wants you to do things that are inimical to the I, Hashem wants you to give your life up and not make a chil Hashem. Be my pleasure to give my life up for Hashem.
That,
and that's not. They're flaying your flesh with combs of steel. I don't think that's a pleasure for anybody.
No.
But he's saying it's my pleasure to the will of Hashem. I'm doing the will of Hashem. So there's no I in that. The I says, it's my pleasure to do what I want to do. Most people, my pleasure is what I want to do. If a person say, my pleasure is what God wants me to do, that's totally selfless. It's totally selfless.
But there could. You
there's no pleasure in that.
Right.
There's no selfish pleasure in that. Selfless pleasure, you're still a zero. If it's selfless pleasure, you are still a zero. As long as the I doesn't need anything, it's my pleasure to help you. But if you forget to thank me, it won't be my pleasure to thank you. Then what are you talking? It won't be my pleasure. What are you talking? Then it's you.
Yeah,
as long as there's that back of the mind, you know, and if you don't do it the way I made the terms, then I'm not. My pleasure to serve Hashem, even if you're poor, even if you're sick, even if you're not getting anything you want, it's still my pleasure to serve Hashem. And there's no I anymore. There's no I anymore. And it's a different kind, it's not a self-centered pleasure, it's a selfless pleasure, and that's not in contradiction.
Yeah.
That's a tanug that is lishma. And believe me, there's a lot of times people have to do things they don't want to do. But it's but there's a greater pleasure. My greater pleasure is to bond with Hashem and be like Hashem, and for me to be a zero. So that's a whole different way of looking at things. Next part of Letzado. And this is what King David said. Vani kirvas Elohim li tov. And for me, closeness to Hashem, that is good. So now he gets into a new area here. He says, "Yesh nesheli yedua." Is a famous question. Ma kavana? What does he mean when he says, "Vani kirvas Elokim li tov"? And for me, kirvas Elokim, meaning closeness to Hashem, coming close to Hashem, is good. He didn't say dveikus Elokim li tov. He said kirvas, coming close to Hashem, is good. Ani bilvad tov lilios dovim garel. For me alone, it's good to cleave to Hashem. Now, v'chi hakirvas Elokim tov arak l'dov ha-melech, is coming close to Hashem only good for David ha-melech? L'chura yitzarech lomer shilukulam ma shetov lo kirvas Hashem. David ha-melech should have said, coming close to Hashem is good for everybody. I mean, for me. Just for you? Just for you, David ha-melech? V'ani, and for me, what about for everybody? He should have said, kirvas Elokim is good for everybody. So what would be the answer? V'adi shebishitchis kavonis David ha-melech lomer shani margish shema shetov li zud veikus. A simple answer would be, David meant to say that I feel it. I really feel that the best thing is dveikus, as compared to others who really don't feel that. He's saying, I've reached a level that I mamish feel, I feel kirvas elokim is good. Others, I can't say that others feel that way. That would be one interpretation. But in deeper understanding, there's a much deeper point. Kiyadua, as is well known, ha'ani, the word ani, and we've said this many times, mischalef ba'os yos ayin. If you change the letters of ani, you get the word ayin, which means nothing. So ma'atikin shel ani. How do you fix up an ani? How do you fix up the ego of I? Levatos atzmo lihasos b'chinas ayin. To nullify yourself and make you an aspect of ayin, of nothing. Vani, when David says vani and I, David HaMelech lo hiskaven la'atzmo, he's not thinking only of himself. Hiskaven lo merkach, he meant to say like this, ma tov lemusag hanikra ani. What is good for any individual who has a concept of himself being the ani? Ani, a person who suffers from the ani complex. The selfish, self-serving ani of life. How do we deal with the ani? How do we make the ani into something that's good? The ani, by definition, is not good. So how do you make the ani good? Kirvas Elokim li tov. Coming close to Hashem, that is good for me. Shiakarav labori olam v'yispatel klavav. To get close to Hashem and nullify yourself before Him. How do you get close to Hashem? To be similar to Him. Someone who is similar to Hashem, he is close and attached to Hashem. So, v'ani, how do we deal with the sickness of the ani? Kirvas Elokim litov. By getting close to Hashem, that will be good, and that's how you'll get rid of the ani and turn it into an ayin. Then he takes another step further. If you look a little bit more into the expression vani kirvas Hashem, hamila kirvas, the word kirvas, atzvas yichin, you have to look into that word kirvas. What does that mean? Because of Ramchal, betchilas kishisakel od bedaver tirek ashlemas amitis he rakat dveikus boyis barach. He said, if you look deeper in the matter, you'll find that the complete perfection is dveikus. Dveikus means cleaving. Now, baby Uriah, he's bringing a proof. I'm going to bring a proof that cleaving is the most important thing. He brings it for David HaMelech and what? Hulafetta Meshana Salashat. Now suddenly he changes the expression. Midveikus, he changed the word from dveikus lekirva to the word kirva. There's no synonyms in Hebrew. It just said, vani dveikus elokim litov. What's this kirvas business? Kirvas, coming close. What's the difference between him being attached and coming close? If it's Tzarech Lahav, you gotta understand. Either way. Matov, what's the good? Kirva or Dveikus? Is it coming close or Dveikus? But Ma'anoskim, what are we engaged in over here? Anoskim, be Kirva Labari Olam or Dveikus? Are we engaged in getting close to Hashem? Are we getting engaged in Dveikus? Imanoskim, be Dveikus. If we're engaged in Dveikus, Matu Dav Ramelech Lomar Vani Dveikus, Velokim Litov. Why didn't he say, for me, Dveikus Hashem is good? Next page. Elomar, what does he say? Vani kirvas elokim litov. For me, kirvas elokim is good. I don't get it. We're talking about kirva. Why does he change the expression to dveikus? So what's going on? We've set up the question and we'll analyze that tomorrow.